of green, red roses too. I see them blue.
This is Ed Cohen, your host on Global HR Talk Radio Show. Our special guest today is Michael S. Cadden, MBA and SGMS, Managing Director of International Operations for Living Abroad, LLC. Let's welcome Michael Cadden.
Hello, Ed. Thank you very much for inviting me in today. I really appreciate it.
Happy to have this conversation with you, Michael. Tell us about technology and mobility. It's no longer an oxymoron, is it?
It is not an oxymoron. In fact, it became an unoxymoron, I think, about the time I got involved in this industry, which was in 1995. And very succinctly, I ended up working for Craighead Publications, one of the early leaders in the industry. And at that moment in time, the clients were asking that those booklets that they were producing on international destinations be put online because they were developing intranets at the time. And I got involved just at that moment and have been involved ever since with technology and mobility.
Tell us about how you're utilizing technology today.
Well, right now, Living Abroad continues in that legacy world by continuing to produce destinations that are online that people can access 24/7 from their computers. Those computers are no longer desktops. They're soon to be no longer laptops. They might be tablets, and we're moving now into the smartphone space, which is something I can talk about in the course of the next few minutes.
You got involved in the technology for mobility business by working for a print publisher. You were hired to help transform the print into digital. Is that right?
Probably got hired as a sort of business consultant, but because of my background in technology, as all those forces were aligning themselves, got kind of steered in that direction. One of the interesting things at that moment were there were no HTML developers. In fact, we found graphic designers reading these books called HTML 1.0, and they became the first HTML developers. And it was finding them in these brick-lined offices where they were drawing pictures on their paper for graphics and didn't have computers that could actually do that at the time.
So when you're saying HTML developers, are you talking about code?
Right. The people that did the original websites that turned code into pictures, into websites that we associated with the early days of the web where they didn't do very much. Now websites are expected to be highly interactive, to be available beyond smartphones, to engage the users, provide social media type relations and getting instant answers. But back then it was more like a brochure online for all practical purposes. But a lot of the media companies now are trying to deal with their online world, going from paper to print, but we did that almost 20 years ago. So mobility has been ahead of the curve in this space.
Let's focus in on what new tools you have coming up.
Glad you asked, Ed. Coming up in San Diego in just a couple of weeks, where you are, is the Global Business Travel Conference, and we have a tool that's for international business travelers. What we've learned in our research is that the vast majority of these people that get on planes to go conduct their company's business overseas don't do any research at all on the destination they're going. They don't necessarily know where to sit at a table if they're having a business dinner. They don't know even how to tip in other countries, where it's appropriate or where it's an insult to actually have done that. So we had all this information that was really geared toward international assignees, and we've been modifying it over the summer and the spring and then putting it in a smartphone format for international business travelers. So we'll be launching 40 of the most popular destinations in just a couple of weeks' time. Most of the work's going with working with Apple and Android to get it so that they can run it through their business model.
And what kind of information will there be about how to tip?
Oh, that's just one thing. But we're taking half our information that we make for assignees and moving it toward business travel. So it would be all the way from what kind of visa you might have to expect to use in a country, what kind of local transportation, safety, things to avoid. Certainly business meetings and customs are a part of that. If you're eating locally, what things to look for and what to avoid. We're not going to link people to restaurants or hotels, but we will tell them broadly how to conduct themselves in business. And this will be in a smartphone, so available to you at that moment. And that's very different how people use our information. For instance, Ed, in the not-so-distant past or even in today's world, people might be looking this stuff up on a computer and making notations in a notebook or something, but very shortly they're going to look it up as they're landing there, in another country. If they're landing in Singapore, want to see if what taxis are the safe taxis or things like that, that information will be right there at their fingertips.
Right, so all you need is high speed and bandwidth.
Not even that high speed, because most of our information is text, so we're staying away from videos and things like that to mitigate that need. All you need is a cell phone connection. Our tool will work under a slow connection, even if it's just cellular, too.
So this is not free. People have to pay for this, right?
Well, it's a business application, and we're going to be launching this for $50 at the Apple Store for all the destinations that we have. Initially 40, and that will grow to over 100 over the next 6 months. Then we're going to be working with the corporations who are our clients now in volume licensing. So they may say, we want to have all our travelers use this, and we'll certainly have that price will be discounted substantially from that price I just mentioned.
What's in an app? Is that information and aggregation of different data?
Exactly. That's pretty good, Ed. App is short for application, of course, and they're usually it's really just a web access, but it's built in a mobile platform, and you go directly to where you need to go, so there's no, clicking around like you might do on a regular site.
I see. And so it costs a lot of money to put one of these together, doesn't it?
It does. You have to develop for the smartphone, so everything you do on a big screen, you only have a little tiny piece of real estate to work with. That was our biggest challenge. We have a lot of information. If you printed out one of our reports, say on a that was in the app, it might print out to maybe 30 or 40 printed pages. Now, obviously, you're not going to want to do it work with it that way. But that just tells you how much information is there for each destination. So how we presented it in a smartphone form was very, very challenging, so that people would not be overwhelmed by the information but could go very quickly to the piece of information that they need at that moment, whether it's tipping, whether it's seating, whether it's bringing a gift to a meeting or any of those types of things that you might encounter in a location.
Once again, this is not just for iPhones, it's for Android also.
Absolutely. And we're also going to make it for BlackBerries and also for the Windows phones that are kind of the small part of the market, but could potentially be adopted by corporations who are our main audience.
All right. So now let's focus on the need for this kind of a thing. It's all about global business travelers, really.
Right. We've seen in our mobility space, Ed, it has been, in a large degree, the traditional assignee that we all knew and loved maybe 15 years ago. They're a small part of the whole picture right these days. And other than short-term assignments, which are, which have become very big, these global business travelers are growing by leaps and bounds. There's millions of these trips every single year in and out of the U.S., just to look at the U.S., and then certainly all over the globe. These are the ambassadors of companies. These are the ones who are going places, and often the trips are long or frequent, so they might be going for a week or two or three. They might be going two times a month or three, and doing that every single month. So you have this new frequent business traveler type entity that's relatively new, and they are the ones that are going out there. So I mentioned the statistic at the beginning that the vast majority just sort of get on the plane and maybe read the magazines that they're about the country they're going to in a very quick way, but are not necessarily prepared to really hit the ground and do business, you know, and understand what they should be wearing to a meeting. It certainly can be a huge importance. You know, you go to Panama, you think you're going to be wearing those lightweight suits, and you find out they all wear, you know, dark blue pinstripe suits. The business people do. And, you could look like very foolish if you weren't properly prepared. And that's the issue. There's a lot of them, and they're important to the companies.
Is the information oriented towards males or females, or it just doesn't matter, does it?
It doesn't matter, although we do have a section on women travelers, just to, you know, where they may have to be especially aware, or maybe what they should do in countries that have laws essentially against women, like Saudi Arabia, places like that. How do you navigate those shorelines?
This is a big future in the industry, isn't it? I mean, all things going digital, right?
Absolutely, and going smartphones and going interactive. So we're at, you know, most all the corporate travelers have smartphones now, so that's not even an issue we have to discuss. There's tools in place now for tracking those global travelers so that the companies know where they are. This is it can be a questionable practice, but it may be a necessary practice. For security, for safety, and for visa monitoring, visas, work visas and things like that, taxation. So I've been talking to people from companies like KPMG and PwC who created these tools for travelers for tax monitoring. It's fascinating where things are going.
What's like a next practice tool coming?
Oh, my gosh, we're always thinking of things. You know, we have been asked at times just recently to merge, you know, our destination information into various other applications, one of them being companies are very interested in cultural tools these days. Again, for the same reason that we were talking about earlier, is get their global work teams working together better. So we're starting to see some effort in, you know, in some areas in that, and we've had some companies that are in this space, you know, begin dialogues with us just recently on how do we make these tools into the most robust and most accessible tools that they could possibly be. Certainly more of that will be coming.
Is this a focus in on business people? Or on students, anybody traveling abroad?
You know, right now, living abroad focuses on the corporate-sponsored relocations, corporate-sponsored business travelers, but that doesn't mean they're the only people that are going overseas to do things. We are partners in a site called World of Expats that's launching it should be launched by the time this program goes out. And that's for those other people, such as entrepreneurs, such as students, such as retirees, people we don't touch. So there are audiences, there's lots of people going global, if you will, that we're also looking for ways to help them.
Well, we're talking with Michael Cadden, Managing Director of International Operations from Living Abroad, LLC, based in Connecticut. So is this technology keeping you in this industry, or is that a silly question?
Well, I love the industry. I love the people in the industry, and that is what really kept me in the industry. But I love the challenges of taking the technology and making it work for global mobility and global business travel. And that's where I'm having the most fun these days.
What's your website address?
www.livingabroad.com.
Okay, now I see in the upper right corner there's a new download about 51 tasks you must do before you move internationally.
That's right. That's our free checklist that we make available to any comers, and we have people every single day, maybe, you know, 3 to 5, 3 to 10 a day that that download that just to, get the a nice succinct PDF file of the things you need to do as you're preparing for an international move. And that could be for anybody. It's not just corporate type people. So that would tell you when, in advance, I mean, obvious things like making sure your passport's up to date and, has 6 months, left on it by the time you're returning. Very, specific things like that. I can tell you now I got to do my passport real soon because it expires in October. So, and that would be things to pack, things to ship, getting visas and the whatnot. So that anybody can just go do that. We keep that up to date, and then as laws change, we update that too.
Tell us about Our World Connect.
Our World Connect is a private social networking platform that several of our major corporations are using now to connect their expats plus their expats' families. It's not like Facebook or LinkedIn where it's available to the whole world, but it's available within a company. Usually they would have several hundred expats and the like. And that just allows people who are out on assignments, especially in remote locations, to find other people that they can connect with, especially spouses and family members who don't have the built-in networks of employees. That will into other applications in the future, too.
So tell us about the team that you have working at Living Abroad.
The most interesting thing about our team is our senior managing editor, Ellen Harris, has been with the company for 15 years. And then my business partner, Kathy, and Ed have also been in the business 15 years for the same company. I've been in 17 years. Ellen Harris has been in it for 15 years. And Erin Fitzgerald has been in the industry and with us for 5 or 6 years now. And we were all working together long before living, at a predecessor company. So, and we're still together. It's pretty amazing. So that's one of the interesting parts of the company is a huge amount of experience in just this very, very small little company in mobility.
Okay, so just to sum up now as we come to a close, in your international relocation center, I know it's a robust source of pre-departure information for assignees and families, but what else? What kind of information is inside this international relocation center?
Oh, there's everything you could possibly want. Obviously, we link across to news and maps. We have very good details on visas and things like that are really important. We talk about what things you can bring and what you can't. We help you navigate around, like what if you bringing your prescriptions from any country into another, is it allowed? I mean, these are sometimes very important aspects to a relocation. So we get into the specific detail for people moving that they really need to know. And it's really hard to find out there on the website. Some sites are, 15 years old and they're still showing that old information. And we pride ourselves on keeping this up to date, and we make changes every single day, all day. Our editors are actually making changes to the database. It's a pretty fascinating business.
So we've been talking with Michael Cadden, Managing Director, International Operations from livingabroad.com. Thank you very much for being our guest. I invite you to come back again. This is Ed Cohen signing off from Old Town, San Diego.
Thank you, Ed.
Thank you.
I think to myself, what a wonderful